Precious Father, on this very pretty morning, we come and seek your blessings. Lord, we seek a rain upon our land that has been lacking the last couple of years. Not that our state is so deserving, but just for mercy's sake. Lord, we pray that you would send your showers. And today, Lord, we ask especially that you would wash over us with your grace and your peace. That your mercy would forgive us and cleanse us. Set us right with you, and Lord, set us up strong on our feet, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, I just love the autumn. I love the colors and the opportunities that arise. I vote that we all go over to this lady's house for lunch afterwards. The creative hand of God is just on full display. The autumn to me. And the scriptures allude to this time of year in several places. And James 5, verse 7 says, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming." I guess waiting for the coming of Christ is demanding patience on our part, yeah? "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." Now, let me ask you, in your own self, your own heart, do you feel that you've got just a sufficient amount of patience to last you until the Lord's coming? Have you got all the patience that you need in life right now? How about strength here? The strength to stand firm. Do you feel right now that you possess all the strength that you need to be able to stand firm until Jesus comes? Have you got enough strength to get through this week? Well, then let's look for help. From whence comes our help? Yeah? You turn to the mountains, and there's also one other place here. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So reading and taking to heart the counsels, the commands that are in this body of work will sharpen and strengthen you as a man or as a woman of God. And in its pages, there are promises, there are principles that speak to us of the divine power that will work within us to make it happen. Have you ever lay in bed at night and wondered what it would be like to be roused and then spoken to by God himself? To hear the voice of God and then have it be something that is gives you direction in life, something specific for you to do. Can you imagine having the Lord telling you, "Look, wake up, get up. I want you to go down to Old Temecula, down to Front Street, because there's something there I want to show you." Maybe that's already happened to you and you know what I'm talking about. It happened quite often in Scripture. Here in Jeremiah 18, verse 1, it says, "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message." Now, being a potter has always been a demanding profession, a noble craft. It requires strength and skill and balance and artistic sense and the products of the potters, if they're good ones, I guess, are held in by families for generations, treasured for generations. Their work has always had such a practical value in a home, what they do, part of a family life, and it also can add an aesthetic value to a home. So the Lord sends Jeremiah off to the potter's house. Verse 3, so I went down to the potter's house and I saw him working at the wheel, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Who is the house of Israel? Very clear in the New Testament, Galatians 3:26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we, you and me, are the house of Israel. This is a prophetic revelation that comes from Jeremiah. A prophetic revelation that's directed straight down the generations, and it stops right here with us. Well, and I guess it proceeds with our children and their children. As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Now, this has very important ramifications for us as mortals. Extremely important ramifications for us. You probably can't see this farther in the back. There's a little hand there holding the flowers, and it says, our baby Harold died January 5th, 1891, aged 1 year, 2 months, 18 days. Important ramifications for us. But the passage from Jeremiah, and thus the Lord, is saying so much more to us about his work in us than just resurrection alone. Resurrection would be enough, especially when you think of that last slide. But there's so much more the Lord can and will do. Remember in James 5 there, where it said to us, you too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. So when he calls to us and he says to us, be patient and stand firm, he, the potter, can make that happen in us. He comes to me, Lyndon, look, hey, you're a little weak on this side over here. So the potter's hand can work and reshape that vessel. Fortify, help us work out what is pleasing to him in us. Take an illustration here from the New Jerusalem. Revelation 21 verse 1 says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Also she, referring to the New Jerusalem, had a great and high wall with 12 gates and the 12 angels, and 12 angels at the gates. And names written on them. The names are written over the gate. Which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. One enormous pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. So the Lord takes one enormous pearl and hand carves a gate, an entrance gate out of it, and over each gate will have that name, probably carved in the pearl, of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. So there's the tribes as they're given to us in Revelation. So Reuben there gets a gate. Do you know which gate you'll have? You know what I mean? It'll be your family gate. All of us were baptized into Christ. We're taken in. We're part of the house of Israel, as we just saw there. So spiritually, you are inherited, you are adopted into one of those 12 tribes. We've talked about that before, how to try to figure out what tribe you belong to, and it has to do with your character and your experiences. I already know mine. Mine's easy. It's right over there. See, Levi, we get to heaven, we'll give you a tour of my gate. So who were these fellows? Were they just all naturally good boys? You know, just wonderful men that they're so deserving that they should have in the New Jerusalem a gate carved out of a single pearl with their name on it. Must have been very tremendous people, yeah? Let's take a little peek here. See who these fellows were. Genesis 37, verse 3. Now Israel, that's Jacob, but God had changed his name. Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. That's risky behavior on the part of the father. We don't want to recommend that. Verse 4, but when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Verse 12, then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. Another dangerous behavior. Verse 18, now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. Who was Reuben in this ranking of all the brothers? He's the oldest, right? And as probably as it was as most older children, they have some responsibility as the years go by of minding the younger ones. And so he steps into this role being the older brother and says, no, no, let's not kill the boy. But before you get too excited about Reuben and thinking that he's such a good guy, we haven't heard from Judah yet. So look what happens here. Verse 22, then Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit? I like that. That's an important word here. Judah's always looking for the profit, apparently. What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. I'm just going to leave that. Verse 28, then Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. So they shackle him and they send him as a slave to Egypt. So the 10 brothers, because Benjamin was the little guy, he was still back at the tent with the father. The 10 brothers sold their own flesh and blood into slavery for 2 pieces of silver each. There's a profit for you. 2 measly pieces of silver. So how could men like this have a gate in their honor in the walls of the New Jerusalem? Is that a fair question? I think that's a fair question. I mean, would you want them for a brother? Let alone an ancestor, a spiritual ancestor? The answer, the resolve for all of this is the concept that we've been looking at here. This from Isaiah 64, didn't include the verse, sorry. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. In the the Lord took those boys. He was not content to just let them remain the wicked souls that they were. And as the great potter, he worked them in their life, in their experiences, in their relationships, and change them and turn their hearts. And by the time we get to the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 4, it says, "And I heard the number of those who were sealed." This is the last generation of Christians on the earth. People who received the seal of the living God as opposed to the mark of the beast. Of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. In the last generation of faithful souls to Christ, prophecy portrays a large and perfect set of spiritual descendants of Judah and of Reuben and of all the other boys. People who have had the same spiritual obstacles to overcome in their lives and in their characters. And each one, like their spiritual patriarchs, will have overcome in Christ and take their place in God's kingdom, becoming a new creation in Jesus. What looks impossible for man is, it's so easy for God. If the human is willing. In the courts of heaven, a record of each and every life is kept. There are things there that are known only to Christ and to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. Things about ourselves that even we do not perceive and understand. For Samuel 16, verse 7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And what he sees, he knows, and he understands." How is your heart today? Does it need some help? Remember what our text said, "As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Please indulge me here just in a fond remembrance of a favorite uncle's love for a specific old poem. It was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste his time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bidding? Good people," he cried, "who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar? A dollar? Now two? Who'll make it three?" Just then, from the room far back, came a gray-bearded man. He took the old violin and tightened its strings. He picked up the bow, and he played a melody, soft and sweet as an angel sings. When it was finished, the auctioneer, in a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000. "Now two. 2,000. And who'll make it three?" 3,000 once, 3,000 twice, going and gone," said he. And the people cheered. But some of them cried, "We just don't understand. What changed its worth?" And swiftly came the reply, "It was the touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and torn by sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, he's going and almost gone, but the master comes. And the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Let me go back. Weary soul, are you feeling weak today? Are you feeling ill at ease? If so, then you're in the exact same spot that the psalmist found himself. Said in Psalm 42, verse 1, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Have you ever asked that? When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night while people say to me all day long, where is your God? Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. The Father wants to hear from you. Christ is ready to send you aid. Let the apostles chime in here. Hebrews 13:20. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good. The Lord wants to give you everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The offer is there. The offer to work out your deficiencies and strengthen what is good. All that remains, all that is missing, is your willingness to put yourself in Christ's hands, fully and completely. And as the psalmist said, then let the Lord's waves and breakers sweep over you and do their good work in your life. If any of you feels a special need, a special desire, to ask God to do that work in your life, to take you to do that work in your life, I invite you to come up here and let's pray together today as we close. If you'd like to join me, come up and take my hand. Our dear Father, heart by heart and hand in hand, we come, we stand before you, looking that your grace would sweep over us like waves, like breakers that would knock down our walls of resistance to the good that you want to do in our life. Forgive us for our selfishness. Forgive us for our pride that stands up as if we know better than you what would be good for us and what would be best. So, Lord, in all humility, please forgive us and transform us, reshape us into the image of your Son, that we could have life and have it more abundantly and have joy and have the peace that we've been lacking. Give us your strength. Give us your help. We ask in the name of Christ, your Son. Amen.